Okay, first and foremost, thank you to Rabbi Yehuda, Kronberg family for hosting. Beautiful Mirpasset. Thank you to Dr. Nordman in absentia for sponsoring the pizzas. Thank you for everyone who came. Thank you for Rashi to give us a lot of good stuff to talk about in this week's Parsha. So we are in Parshat Lech Lecha.
Give kosher to
Oh, and thank you to Rabbi Ostreicher for and his wonderful work that he does with Kosher Tube for getting Torah out to the masses. Unfortunately, not everybody can live in Carmiel, and so here at least they have access to some of the amenities of living in the holy city of Carmiel. So just the first verse, usually that's enough. Especially when you get some of these Rashis that just explode out of the gate. Four questions that we have to deal with in the first verse alone. And they're big ones. This is our introduction to Abraham. This is the first time we're meeting Abraham. We hear his name mentioned at the end of Parshat Noach. We get a little bit of background that his family was on the move. They made it as far as Haran and stopped. That's all we really know. We don't really know much about Avraham and the Chumash itself. And all of a sudden we see that Hashem's talking to Avraham. And this is his first nevuah, his first interaction as far as we know, because nothing else is mentioned. The Torah certainly hasn't found it important or necessary to mention anything prior to this. So anytime we have an introduction to something, it's important, it's a big deal. So the four questions are, first and foremost, normally when we have a important person that we need to be keeping track of in the Chumash, we have a little bit of background as to what they're doing and why they're so important that Hashem is singling them out for prophecy. In Avraham, we have zero such introduction. We don't know that Avraham is a tzaddik. We don't know that he's a chassid. We don't know anything. We know that he was born, he traveled, and that's all we know. And all of a sudden, Hashem's having a conversation with him, but we don't know why. What's so special about him? One question. Now, in the verse itself, Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha, you shall go for yourself, ma'artzecha umladetecha umebeit avicha, from your land, from your birthplace, and from your father's home, Ela aretz asher areka, to the land which I'm going to show you. So, our first question we had is, who is he? Who is Avram? What's happening? Why is Hashem talking to him? We have no background. The second question, lech lecha, what does it mean, lech lecha? We'll get into more into depth as to what that question is in just a second. This double language, lech lecha, it's definitely extraneous language, right? Go for yourself. If Hashem wants to give Avraham a mitzvah, go from this place to where I'm going to show you. You could just say lech, right? V'yomer Hashem l'Avraham, lech ma'artzecha. What is this lecha? What's it adding? Why do we need it? Second question, Ma'artzecha Mu'atechu Mibet Avicha. Where does Hashem want him to leave? He wants him to leave the location he's in now, right? He wants him to leave Mesopotamia and come to Israel. So why do we have to have three locations mentioned in succession? Just say, leave your land. And if it's ways, right, Hashem's giving him a directions how to get out, it's backwards. Should say, leave your father's house, leave your birthplace, and leave your land. It's moving in the wrong direction. Geographically, it's moving the wrong way. So the two questions, what?
You don't have to say anything. Go to Israel.
Well,
you can't be in Israel and not leave your home.
You can't be in Israel and not leave. We see for there to be two ideas, right, that's not right. To say one thing is you need to leave this place and you need to go somewhere else, right? That could be two different concepts. But if the whole point is I want you to leave where you are, why do you need three right place markers? Leave your land. That's the point. You want them to leave Mesopotamia, right? Or if you want to do it in order, so say leave your father's home, leave your birthplace, leave Mesopotamia, and come to Israel. But here it's moving in the wrong direction. Why are you going from the bigger, the more generic, down to the more specific? So that's question number three. And the fourth question, right, we're just following along with also with the Rashi's questions over here, to the land that I'm going to show you, right? Why does Hashem not just say it? Just tell him where he's going, where you want him to go, right? What's the point of telling him everything else and hiding this piece of information to the land that I'm going to show you? Okay, so those are our four questions, and we're going to put in a fifth question, which is, Chazal tell us, our sages tell us, that Avraham was taken through 10 trials. Right, they're different in different Midrash and Mishnayos. The 10 trials come out differently, what they are exactly. But there are clearly 10 trials, and according to everybody, this is one of the 10 trials. That means that at this point, Avram was overcome something extremely difficult in leaving, in this commandment of being told to leave and go to Israel. Now, for some people who are leaving Los Angeles, and even today, they're probably still thinking about the sushi and the hot dogs that they had access to.
Jeff's.
Yeah, maybe that was a challenge, a nisayon. But Avram left a place where people wanted to murder him, where people were steeped in idolatry, and he's being offered the opportunity to go to a place where he could be on the highest spiritual level. The fifth question is, what's the challenge? What was hard about it? There was only lots of reasons to leave.
I think it's just traveling in general, especially if you don't know
traveling's
where to go.
Hard.
In those days.
Traveling's hard. I hear.
Curious, because he's leaving with his father. He's leaving his father's house.
He's leaving his father behind, ultimately. Father. No, he's not. We see from the Pasuk in last week's Parsha that Terach stays. He's going to die in Haran.
But they didn't start in Haran.
They started in Ur Kasdim.
Right.
Where Avram was thrown into the Kivshan Eish. That's not in the Pasuk. Those are through the Midrashim. They make it, we do know in the Pasuk that they make it all the way to Haran. It does. It says, Yitzu, Mur Kasdim, Lalechet Arza Knan, and they made it to Haran. They were leaving Ur Kasdim, they were going to go to Knan, they got...
His father makes it halfway.
Yeah, apparently they have good sushi and pizza and hot dogs there also.
He died there.
Yeah, he wanted to stay there. According to, it's not chronological. Rashi points it out that he lives a much longer life than that. So this is Ein Mukdam Meuchar B'Torah. They're telling us that he dies in this place, not that he died at that moment. Okay, so those are our five questions. Good. Now, we want to get to Rashi, and then we'll start to expand that first question. So Rashi's explaining Lech Lecha. What does it mean go for yourself? Why don't we just say go? What's this for yourself? So Rashi helps us out by saying Leha'anatcha v'letovatcha. For your pleasure and your good. Right? Go, but go for your pleasure and go for your good. Rashi gives us the two reasons why. Esech l'goy gadol, the continuation of the prophecy. Right, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Kan yeta zochel banim, where you are right now, you're not going to merit to have children. Ve'od shodia tivcha ba'olam, I'm going to make your greatness, your nature known throughout the world. Those are the reasons he says that you should go. Okay, so go. Don't just go. Go for your benefit. Go for your good. That's Rashi's clarification of what this word lecha is adding. Now, we have a question on this Rashi from one of the greatest Rishonim, maybe the greatest Rishon. The Ramban asks on this Rashi, and the Ramban says, I mean, you see this word, lecha, lo, lechem, it's all over the Chumash. Geshem, chalaf, halach, lo. Well, we're going to get to Shlach Lecha in a second. why that's different. But you see that in a lot of these other places, it has no real mashma'ut. It's just a grammatical device. That's the Ramban's question. Ramban's not, you know, blown away by this idea that lacha has to mean something. It's the rain went, passed and went on its way. You know, it went. Fine. That's the Ramban's question on Rashi, that the pshat, is just go. And Seder, so Chazal had a nice medrash. But of course, the Ramban's arguments with Rashi are always, what's the pshat? Right? The pshat's just go. So he wipes away Rashi like this. Another question that we don't really need the Ramban for, we can ask this question ourselves, is why is Hashem adding this idea that the mitzvah that he's telling him to do has to be l'tovatcha v'l'natcha, for your benefit and for your good, right? For your pleasure and for your good. What I was thinking about when Shlomo sent me this article this week about tefillin. I guess it was a recent research study that they did that, it's a very big deal. You should know that putting on tefillin every day, they found out, is good for your heart.
Yeah, because it stops the blood and then recircles the
recirculation. So now you know why Hashem gave us the mitzvah of tefillin, because it's good for your heart. Now you can put on tefillin, you can feel good about it, right? I remember once with a student having a conversation. The idea of Brit Milah is a very difficult idea. It's so barbaric. Jews are barbarians. Look what they do. So we spoke about Brit Milah, and it's hard. If a person has no sensitivity to spirituality, it's a bit of a hard idea to give over, right? Someone has to at least be sensitive to spiritual concepts. But when that student read an article that people who are circumcised have lower rates of prostate cancer, and then they were okay. That's okay. It's fine. Right? Now I get it.
Scientific research
helping us understand why we do mitzvahs. Right? Why do we do mitzvahs? You put on tefillin because it's good for your heart? People have been circumcised their babies for thousands of years because prophecy about lowering prostate cancer? Like what does it have to do with the mitzvah? Why is Avraham leaving? If Hashem said to Avraham, lech, no, go. Avraham suddenly, do you have any studies to support research? What's the real estate market like in Israel? Is it better than what I can get for a house over here?
Do you know how to tread water? Ha, 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 ha.
Okay. So, the second question we can ask on this Rashi, we had the Ramban's question, which Ramban wasn't so impressed with this idea of Lachal. But the next question that we can ask is, why does Avraham need it? What's the point? What are we gaining of this lacha? Why do we need reasons? Avraham will go because Hashem said. He's having a prophecy. He's not struggling with universal truths. Is it true? Is it not true? Hashem just spoke to him, right? There's no doubt in his mind that that's what he's supposed to be doing with his life. Why do we need to add this extra layer? Okay, so there's a Gur Aryeh. The Gur Aryeh really opens up in Shlach Lecha, in Shlach. Over here he gets into it a little bit, but then he adds a twist in Shlach, which is really going to make things harder for us. But hard is always good, because then we get down to the deeper truths. So we do see that the word Lecha is a device that indicates this idea that it's on one's own, right? Just like Halach Lo for the rain, it went on its own way. That's how we understand this idea of Shlach Lecha over there, right? Over there, it's clear that Hashem is not giving Moshe a commandment to send the scouts. Because if he's giving a commandment to send the scouts and everything backfires, well, then that's somewhat Hashem's, right, responsibility. The point is, and what Rashi points out over there, is that Shlach Lecha means Hashem said to Moshe, Mirtzoncha, if you want to. I'm not telling you to do it. You want to do it, you should do it. Okay, what's the point of that conversation? That's a whole different pizza on the porch for another time. But over there, the whole idea of lecha meant do what you want to do. Go on your own, whatever you want. Lirtzoncha. If that's your ratzon, that's what you want, that's your will, do it. If not, don't do it, right? Do what you will. So that's the whole idea of this word lecha. He's telling Moshe can do what he wishes. So what do we see that the word lecha, as Rashi understands it over there, means? That over there, the whole lecha literally means I'm not commanding you. It's not a commandment. Lecha means if you feel like it. That's what it means. So now, we see that this lecha that Rashi is using over here is actually a chidush for us. Because now it is a mitzvah. The whole word lecha, says the Maharal, you look around, it means if you feel like it. It's for you. It's not for me. Here, by lech lecha, Rashi's telling us, no, it means it's for you to enjoy it, it's for your benefit. But it is a commandment. Now, it's interesting, the Gurari has to prove to us that lech lecha is a tzivui, right? Because you'd have that question. No, maybe lech lecha also means like go to Israel if you want to. Leave Mesopotamia, go to Israel, but l'ratzoncha, if you think you should, if you think it's a good idea, if you want to. So Gra actually proves it from the bris ben abasarim, from the covenant of the parts. That over there, Hashem says, Ani Hashem Elokecha asher tzasicha mi'or kasdim. I'm Hashem, Lord your God, who took you out of Or Kasdim. And the question is, what does that mean that Hashem took Avram out of Or Kasdim? Where do we see that Hashem took him out? Avram left. So that's where, says the Gurari, you see, Hashem took him out because Hashem told him, you have to leave. Right? It wasn't optional. It was non-negotiable. Yes, Rabbi Ashok, I see that you're working it through.
I would need to look at that. I have the impression that leaving Or Kasdim was initiated by the Father.
From last week's parsha.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also medrash like that, that he ran away because everybody wanted to kill him.
Could have just run away.
Huh?
Pretty good reason to run away.
Yeah. To save his own life, he ran away. The Gurari sees from there a proof for this idea that it's because Hashem told him he had to leave. So it's a tzivui. So we have here another contradiction in Rashi, that on the one hand, it's a commandment. On the other hand, it has this word lecha, whose entire essence means not a commandment. It's on your own will, on your own free will.
But it also implies for your benefit.
So that's the question. So over here, it can't mean there's no commandment.
Right.
That's the Gurari explains over here in Lech Lecha, and also a bit over there in Shlach, that there's no way that over here it could mean Lirtzoncha, if you want to, because I'm telling you to do it. So as a way to solve this, the Maharal says something unbelievable. He says, why is it l'tovatcha v'la'anatcha? Why is it for your good, for your benefit? So that Avraham should come to do it lirtzono. He should come to do it under his own desire. Say it again.
Yeah. It's a nisayon.
Rega, you're already jumping to the answers. The Maharal explains, what's this contradiction? It's for you, but it's a commandment. How could it be both? So he says, that's what Rashi's teaching us, that it's a commandment, but it's a commandment where Hashem's telling him it's good for you. Once Avram sees it's good for him, he's not just doing it because Hashem's telling him, he's also doing it because he wants to do it.
Like he needed to be told, otherwise he wouldn't have gone?
No, he would have gone, but we adding a second layer of he's going because he wants to go, not just because Hashem told him.
Mitzad
Ava,
not just
Yerut. Mitzad Ratzon, a little mitzad.
Okay.
His own Ratzon, not someone else's Ratzon.
Is there not a difference between staying in Ur Kasdim, which is a very dangerous place for him? Leaving Ur Kasdim is different than going to Eretz Yisrael. Because, in fact, we know he's to go somewhere else first. they stop in Haran.
Yeah.
So one would assume that the bad news of poor Chasdim is resolved by getting to Haran.
Yeah.
Without the good news of...
Yeah, and that's how some of the Mefarshim learn it, that's why you see the Haran, that Terach, he just wanted to get away from Ur Kasdim because it was dangerous from there. He got to Haran, he saw that it was safe.
Right.
He said, that's it, we don't have to go further. We can stop right
Mexico,
here.
El Salvador.
Yeah. Uganda. Uganda, that's a good place for us. So the question is where he received the tzivui, which is a machloke in the Rishonim, right? And from here you see the Gurari holds that he received it already in Ur Kasdim. Some learn he received it in Haran. It's a disagreement where he receives the nevuah. We see that from there that Rashi goes like the Ibn Ezra, that he received it in Ur Kasdim. Yeah. Nachon mod. Okay, so good. So one thing that's an interesting note, the Emek Davar, the Netziv, points out in the footnotes over there that Lacha actually has both meanings. And he brings a proof from another example, which is Psal Lacha. When Moshe Rabbeinu goes to make the second tablets, the second Luchot, Hashem says to him, Psalicha, you should carve them for yourself. So we see here that it's definitely a commandment. It's not like Moshe had a choice not to do it. And the Lacha was that Chazal teaches that Moshe was keeping the psolet, the psal yelacha, the amber that he chiseled out was what actually made Moshe Rabbeinu wealthy. So the Emek HaDavar actually proves that you see that the word Lacha actually has both connotations. It means for your good, for your benefit, and it also, right, can be used in connection with a mitzvah, right? And in other cases, he points out from the Gemara in Nedarim over there, also that the Torah in Ksav Lecha, that over there, when Hashem says Ksav Lecha, it meant that actually the ksav should be for you, that the Torah Shebaal Peh should be Moshe's and Moshe's alone. So we see this idea that Lecha has these other meanings in other places in support of Rashi's position. Okay, so we see that according to the Gurarie, Lecha is Rashi wants to bring out both ideas, that even though it's a commandment, he also wants the Avram to do it under his own will. So now, that's going to bring us to a new question, which is, what is this mitzvah? What is this new type of mitzvah, right, that all of a sudden, Hashem's saying, don't just do it because I told you, I want you to also do it because you want to do it. Right? It's a chiddush. What?
Oh, it's like marriage.
Okay, I'm listening.
Or a gap.
I want you to do it because you want to do it. Not because you're not doing it for me. You're doing it because you want to do it. Even though I have no interest in doing it. But you're still doing it because she wants you to do it.
Meaning not just because it's the right thing to do, but also because you want to do it.
Exactly.
So the question is, why by Avram? Why specifically here? Lech Lecha. What is unique about this moment that this is where... We don't see this type of mitzvah all over the Chumash where Hashem's telling him, you know, do this lecha, do this lecha, do this lecha. Right? So the question is, what is unique about this first moment that we want it to be Ratzon Avram? L'shem Shemayim is no longer good enough. Normally, we want a mitzvah to be L'shem Shemayim. You do it because Hashem wants you to do it. Forget if it's good for you or not good for you. Here, Hashem wants him to do it because it's good for you. Okay. So there's a second version of this question, the question of the 10 nisyonot, of the 10 challenges, which is not only is Hashem giving him a commandment, right, to leave. This is supposed to be a challenge for Avram. Step one, Hashem's telling you, I'm commanding you to leave, which already seems to make the challenge a bit easier. Step two is that the place you're leaving from is a horrible place. Right, which makes it easier. Step three is you're doing it in order to go on and become someone great, right? So where is the challenge? Where's the nisayon in that? Okay. So now the answer, you tell me if this is what you wanted to say, Omer. The Panim Yafos is the first one who says this answer. The Ber Moshe also takes a very similar stance in answering this question. And he says as following. What do we know about Avram? We have to try to understand who Avram is. Right? We know that the Pasuk in Yeshaya tells us that Avram is Avram Ohavi. Avram, my beloved one. There's a big part of what defines Avraham is his relationship of love with Hashem. Maybe this is where Shlomo is going for. Not just of fear, but also of love, of a closeness with Hashem, which is unique amongst the different personalities we encounter throughout Tanakh. So they understand that one of the things that Avraham is working on his entire life is developing a true and real sense of love. And we know that love is something that is not bound to any externals, right? Any conditions, right? True love, you love someone for the sake of love, right? So
unique of the gods that existed at the time as well.
What do you mean?
The gods that were worshipped at the time of Avraham pretty well worshipped out of fear.
Or out of a desire to gain something.
Also,
right? Because
yeah.
I want Parnassa, because I want children, not because they loved them, right?
Yeah.
They were trying to appease them. So they learn like this. Avraham wants to leave Haran anyways. He has no interest in hanging around with all these idolaters. He anyways wants to have children. He anyways wants, you know, to be an Eretz Yisrael. These are all things he wants anyways. So says the Panim Yafos, the Ber Moshe, and Omer, that the reason why Hashem told him it's Lahanatcha is because that was the Nisayon. That was the test of Lech Lecha. All these things, you want them anyways. These are all incredible things. These are things that you as a person deeply desire no matter what. Now you have to tie that into the fact that it's a mitzvah for me. Which means, why are you doing it? Why are you going to Eretz Yisrael? Why are you leaving this place? You're doing it because it's good for you? Or you're doing it because I asked you to go. So that's what they understand. It's a nisayon of refining his love to the highest possible level of love, which is seeing Hashem does things for us because they're good for us, because we want them anyways. But nonetheless, that's not the reason we do it. That was the nisayon, that was the test of Lech Lecha, that Hashem was presenting Avram with a mitzvah, which anyways he had a deep desire to do, but he had to overcome that desire to do it only because Hashem told him to do it. Now, one thing that's very nice about this is it helps us to understand why there's no introduction, preface to this prophecy of Lech Lecha. We're going to have to borrow a little bit from the Maharal, right? The Maharal asks the question, this question, why Lech Lecha has no introduction? We know nothing about Avram before it shows up. And the answer of the Maharal is, so you should never make the mistake of thinking, oh, you know why Hashem chose Avraham? This reason. Chose him for that reason. Why? Because we know that kol ava, right? That's talui bedavar. Any ahava, any love, that's based on some sort of a condition, badla davar, badla ava. Once that thing's gone, the love dissipates. That's not real love. Says the Maharal, we don't describe Avram, we don't tell you like Noah, you know, hey, he's a special person, he's a tzaddik, right? He found chayin in Hashem's eyes. Because if those things go away in the future, then Hashem stops loving him, or the Jewish people. So the Maharal says, in order that you don't make that mistake, there's no introduction to Avram, you should know Hashem loves Avram because he loves him. He loves him, it's a pure love, it's a true love, there's no conditions. Okay, that's a very deep idea. That would take another hour of talking about what love is and what it means to just love someone because you love them. But That's one thing. It explains to us exactly why there's no introduction. Now, like this. I have questions. It's true, right? The vort that we have over here is true. It's a nisayon to overcome your desires to do something out of love. But to say it's pshat, we have to answer a few questions, which are some hard questions. First of all, right, if the whole point of what Avraham is doing is to overcome his ta'avot, his desire to leave anyways, so the order of how he tells Avraham to leave is backwards. Because the place he relates to the strongest is his father's home, and less, right, to his birthplace and less to his country. The place he cares the least about, the easiest place to leave, is the country. If the whole point is overcoming being mitgaber, you need to switch the order. Hashem should say, leave your father's house, because that's the hardest place for him, the place that he has the least desire to leave. So that's more L'Shem Shemaim. I can do L'Shem Shemaim, says Avraham. Sure, I could leave my father's house, right? But then it gets more and more places that are he's excited to leave. So if the whole point is overcoming, the lands are moving in the wrong direction. Two, other than that, why does he not tell him about the land of Israel? He leaves it as a blank. He should tell him, you're going to Israel. Then I'll have a very strong desire to go, and I'll have to overcome that desire. By leaving it open, we're going back. That's L'Shem Shemaim territory. That's doing it for the sake of heaven. I don't know where it is. I'm going because you're telling me to go. Right? Question three is, every mitzvah, which is for a benefit of a person, has that struggle. The first mitzvah, Hashem told Adam HaRishon, you should eat from every tree. That's a pleasurable mitzvah. And it has within the nisayon the challenge of doing it L'Shem Shemaim anyways. Right? When Hashem told man, "Pruvu, be fruitful and multiply." That's something that people want to do anyways. Right? And you have to overcome that challenge and do it L'Shem Shemaim. When he told Noach to get in the boat, save your own life. Yes, Noach was very happy to not die in the flood. And that has that nisayon of doing it L'Shem Shemaim. So I don't see what's unique about Avraham that all of a sudden we talk about the nisayon of coming to do something L'Shem Shemaim. Everybody has to do that. And the fourth question is that this idea that the avot, all three of them, had certain nisayonot that they had to overcome. And generally the nisayon that they had to overcome was the one that most reflected their nature. And we'll talk about what that is in just a second. But this one seems to be, one of these things is not like the other, seems to be not like the rest of the Nisyonot that Avraham is going to have to go through. Okay, so interestingly enough, as I was walking out of shul on my way over, I bumped into Rav Moshe Fried. And he gave me one of his, you know, what do you have to say? No. So we spoke a little bit about this question, about the Maharal's explanation of Lech Lecha, the sort of duality of it's a mitzvah, but I want you to do it because for your own benefit. And he said a different idea of Nisayon. He said it's that maybe it's a Nisayon of building Avram's Emunah. Because we know that Avram was, we're looking for different, what is the essence, the definition of Avram. One of the great things that Avram did was he was the greatest of the Balei Emunah, right? His faith was part of his hallmark character traits. So he says Hashem is giving him all these things that he wants to do, that he's excited to do. And then what's going to happen? He's going to get to the land of Israel. And everything's going to take a nosedive. Wait, everything's supposed to be good, right? I'm supposed to be in Israel, and then there's a famine. And I'm supposed to come here to have children, and it's not happening. And all the things that Hashem promised him he was going to get for his own benefit, where are they? So by staying strong and saying to himself, if Hashem told me that's what's going to be, that's what's going to be, Avraham develops this incredibly deep level of emunah that he sees the goodness when it all comes out in the end. That's the nisayon over here. Yafeh? Yafeh, I liked it also. I still don't think it's the pshat. We could still ask some of the other questions that we asked, and specifically it doesn't seem to relate to his other nisayonot, like this. Avraham has a lot of special character traits, right? This idea of beloved, this idea of emunah, we see in Pirkei Avos, Ayin Tova, Ruach Namucha, Nefesh Shvela, right? All these things that are very unique and special about Avraham. But there's a Zohar that a lot of people know it, even if they never seen it, which builds on this idea that the world is built on three pillars. Torah, Avoda, Milut Chasadim, right? And there are psukim that the Zohar brings to show how each one of the avot reflect one of those pillars which holds the world up, right? If we're building the world from scratch with Avram, if we're recreating humanity, right? These are what we're looking for, the pillars of what existence is all about. So based on the pasuk in Micha, right? Emes leYaakov, chesed leAvraham, right? Truth is for Yaakov, chesed is Avram. Avraham's defining characteristic is chesed. Avram is the Baal chesed, the one who shows us what all chesed is supposed to look like. Okay, so now that we have that piece of information, we need to see how that's going to help us over here. So what does it mean to be a Baal chesed? What does that look like? Because certainly we shouldn't assume that Noach didn't do chesed, right? All these tzaddikim before Avram, I'm sure did achnasat orchim. I'm sure they had pizza and parsha sometimes. Yeah? Dr. Nordman, yeah. Right? They certainly were giving tzedakah. It's not like they didn't know how to do chesed. So what does it mean to really do chesed? Okay? We're not going to go all the way to the idea of doing chesed with Hashem that Rav Dessler speaks about. But there's a beautiful idea of Rav Soloveitchik of Boston that always I really love this idea that he talks about it by Rachel. That Rachel, her name, Rachel, means a sheep. Right? A shepsel. A little sheep. A Rachel is a sheep. What's the idea of a sheep? The idea of a sheep is everything that I have, it's yours. You're cold, take my fur. You're hungry, take my milk. Not enough? Shecht me. Take me. That is the essence of the chesed of Rachel, that everything is for you and there's nothing for me. Everything I have, I want to give to you, of myself, completely and wholly. Where do we see it? We see that Rachel gives her husband. Rachel gives her life. And Rachel even gives her afterlife all for the Jewish people. If it's the right thing for the Jewish people, she gives her Yaakov to Leah. If it's the right thing for the Jewish people, for building the Jewish people, she dies while birthing Binyamin, right? The 12th tribe, the 12th Shevet. Even her kvura, even her burial, is going to be outside of the land of Israel because it's for the good of the Jewish people who are in Golus, who are in the exile. The whole essence of Rachel, the essence of Chesed, right, which is offset by Leah, who's the essence of Din, right, is that everything she has, she gives to everybody else. So we're going to take that idea, and we're going to apply it, and we're going to see how the roots of that start in Avraham. First of all, Avraham gives his life in Ur Kasdim. He does. He brings himself to a place where they literally are so done with him that they throw him into a fiery furnace. He gives up the land of Israel for his father. Sounds like he would have stayed in that pit stop for the rest of his life, you know, until Terach dies, because that's where Terach wanted to be. We see that Avram gives up his nevuah his prophecy in this parsha for Lot. The whole time Avram and Lot were together, and that's a period of years. It's not like they came into Eretz Yisrael for a week and then they split up. For years, he did not have prophecy because he stayed with Lot. He gives that up in order to try to help Lot. And we see the same thing when the three Malachim come to him, Parshat Vayera. He thinks they're three travelers. He gives up prophecy. He gives up his... He's in commune with Hashem. He's in the process of prophecies. Wait, I have guests. Right? He's willing to give that up for these three travelers, wanderers coming through the desert. He risks his life in this week's Parsha to save Lot after he's kidnapped. And he risks his Olam Haba, right, according to the Midrashim, to try to save the people of Lot, when of the Anshei Sodom, the people of Sodom. When he keeps pushing Hashem, it says that he went to Milchama with Hashem. He literally was risking his world to come, his reward in the world to come, because he wanted to save the people of Sodom. So we see that Avraham's chesed has no bounds. He is not bound by his own limitations. He's willing to give everything up, as long as the result is one thing, bringing people closer to Hashem. That's the chesed of Avraham. Avram sees himself literally as an extension of Hashem. He learns from Hashem. He looks in the world. He sees that Hashem gives limitless things to us, and we're meant to imitate that. So there should be no limit to what I give to other people. So that's Avram's essence. That's who he is. Everything I have is for you. The biggest nisayon that Avram could possibly have is when Hashem says, I want you to do something for yourself. And I want you to do it at the cost of somebody else. Right? You have to leave your father. And you have to go because it's good for you. That's unbearably painful for Avram. That's one of those things where, you know, if there's like a sound effect of someone's like brain popping... Right? That revelation for Avram was like, but that's not chesed. Right? Hashem is redefining what it means to be a Baal Chesed. And that works perfectly with everything that we're talking about, because the idea over here, all of them, let's work through them. First of all, why are the lands backwards? Right? Because each one of them is a more painful area where Avram believes his work is to give himself over entirely. Avram says, look, why did Hashem put me here? He put me here to save this place. Can I save it? I'll give it everything I have till I'm depleted. So the first level is the country, Mesopotamia. The second level is his birthplace. Right? The third level is his father's home. And each one's more and more who he is and who he feels he's meant to give his life to. It's working backwards from the circles of how we give tzedakah, right? How do you give tzedakah? You start tzedakah, you give first to yourself. Chayecha v'chayecha v'recha, chayecha kodmin. Your life, someone else's life, your life goes first. Then goes to your family. Then it goes to people in your shul, in your neighborhood, in your city. Moves in outward concentric rings. Why? Because Hashem is teaching us how to be givers. And the more you relate to something, the easier it is to give. Right? I relate to my family. They're part of me. I feel very connected, so that it's easy to give to them. And you're training yourself to move further and further and further out, to be a better and better giver, to the point where when I can give to somebody who lives in a different city, I still feel like I'm giving to my family member. I still feel like it's for me, right? It's not a chore. So here it's backwards. Hashem says to him, you have to leave Mesopotamia. What do you mean I have to leave Mesopotamia? That's my country. This is my place. I'm trying to save this place. Hashem says, more than that, you have to leave your birthplace. Whoa, that's where I was born. You put me there for a reason. More than that, I have to leave your father's home. But that's my father. He raised me. He defined my characteristics. That's that is who I am, that's my family. And each one's a deeper level of nisayon for Avraham as he redefines this concept of what it means to be a Baal Chesed. He's tested in that area of Chesed, what it means to do Chesed.
It's a kind of training, in a sense, that, you know, a person who's a visionary has a big vision.
Yeah.
You know, save the world.
Yeah.
As usually that person gets older, he realizes that it's beyond his ability. And he has a smaller vision. Save my nation.
Yeah.
And what Hashem is doing, stage by stage, is like pulling another carpet out from under him. You know, your dream was to save Mesopotamia. It's not going to happen. Okay, at least I can fix my city.
So, Scott, no. I think what you, if I'm not mistaken, I think the idea you're saying over is a piece is an idea from Rabbi Yisrael Salant. This idea that a person finally gets back and he realizes if I can just save myself, right? And of course, the secret to that is that the greater you can become, the greater you make other people. But there's a deeper idea over here with Avram, a unique idea, which is that this idea that Judaism introduced to the world, right? This is the problem with Noach, is that Noach knows, right? I can't save these people, and I'm not sure that they should be saved. But at the very least, I can save myself. That's why you have Et Elokim Mesalech Noach.
You did try 120 years, though.
Huh?
He did. Wasn't that the whole idea of building a cave outside? Trying, whether he believes it or not.
But where's the risk?
No, there's no risk.
There's no risk. That's the whole point. Noach, the way that the Mefarshim understand it, he has to live in constant connection with Hashem in order to not fall to stoop to the level of the generation. So he can't go out and do kiruv with anybody. Because if he goes kiruv, that could be the end of his spiritual journey. Whereas Avram is teilech lefanav v'teitamim, Hashem says to him, you can go in front of me. You don't even need to hold on to me, and you're going to be able to hold on to this level of tmimut, of walking with Hashem with no questions asked whatsoever. So this idea that the avot that Avram is bringing into the world is when you have a person who they're willing to give everything over because they see themselves as a tool, as an extension just for Hashem, that changes the whole playing field. That's why the continuation of this nevuah is Hashem says to Mitya Bracha, you are now going to be the source of bracha in the world. When Adam got a bracha, it came from me. When Noah got a bracha, it came from me. With you, Abraham, the rules change. You're now the source of bracha. Whoever you decide gets a bracha. From me. Why? How does Abraham do that? Because Abraham gives everything over. He doesn't exist anymore. He's an extension of Hashem. He says, if you're an extension of me, that's a different story altogether. Now, I have to make you great. Why? Because when you get great, I get great. When you bring children into the world, those children are mine. When your name becomes great and you become wealthy, that's all me. The greatest chesed you could do is making my name great in this world. And once you realize that you're willing to give everything up, you can change the whole field of chesed, since everything you do is l'shem shemaim. Since everything you do is for my sake, now you have to start doing things for yourself. Because when you do things for you, you do things for me. And that's the greatest chesed you could do for the whole world. Okay? That also answers why we have no introduction to Avraham. This idea is based on a beautiful piece by the Ora Tzafun. Not going to do the whole piece. It's an amazing piece. But over there, he expresses the idea that because the chesed Avraham does before he hits 70 doesn't matter. Till you have a relationship with Hashem and you understand all the deeper concepts of chesed, it's not the type of chesed the Chumash needs to point out to you. The real chesed starts after Hashem reveals to Avram what chesed looks like. Now we could start talking about chesed. Also the idea of Ha'aretz Asher Areka, the land which I'm going to show you, a beautiful idea that I saw in the Ramat Valley, this idea of show you, right? I can't show you chesed when you're here. You have to come to Israel. It's, you know, it's one of those things, like, I can't describe it to you, I need to show it to you. That's what Hashem is saying to Avram. He says, I want to I want you to be a real chesed, bal chesed, but in order to do that, you have to see how spirituality flows. I can't show you that here. It's Baretz Asharecha. You have to see it in that land. You can't see it over here. We answered the question, right? Why this is a nisayon. And specifically, we see that it's a nisayon in chesed. We see it's a mitzvah, but it's a type of mitzvah that has to be done for your benefit, because that's the type of chesed you need to start understanding and relating to. There's a balance here. Just like all the avot were tested in what's called emet, what's called din, you're going to be tested in what's called chesed. And this is the new chesed that you need to incorporate into a complete picture of what chesed looks like in the world. Okay, so I think I covered everything I have written. So, questions?
So, Avram, he was like, as he was Ava, he was, whoever you bless, you have the power to bless, it's like Aaron.
Yeah, absolutely. The roots of all those ideas start in Avram. And as a matter of fact, you're going to see in this parsha that Avraham gets the kahuna from Malkitzedek. We didn't speak about that together, right? That idea. But that you see that Avram is he's a kohen. He's the roots of kahuna because he's the roots of bracha, of blessing and chesed. Right? Kohanim are chesed. They represent chesed. They get this bracha and they don't keep it for themselves. They just pass it over. They're just a tool for the Jewish people. Well, absolutely. Same idea. Good? Okay.
Shkaya. What other mitzvahs do you have to do consciously for yourself?
This idea that any mitzvah that has in it hana, right? Why did Hashem give us mitzvahs that are pleasurable? Why did Hashem put pleasurable things in the world at all? You know, it can start all the way back with the first mitzvah, which is eat of all the fruits. Why are there different fruits? Why do fruits taste good? The whole point of coming into the world is to have pleasure. Hashem wants us to have pleasure. The problem is we live in a physical world, and we don't understand the pleasure Hashem wants us to have because it's so distant from us, it's spiritual. So Hashem gives us training wheels. He says, I want you to eat something delicious. You feel that? That feels good? It's because I need you to know that I love you. And life is all about enjoyment. But this is just a training wheel. The wheels have to come off, and I expect you to grasp deeper concepts of things which are pleasurable in the world. But ultimately, everything in life is about pleasure. There's the child's pleasure at eating a candy bar. And then there's a tzaddik's pleasure at eating something, and he's eating it l'shem shemayim, and there's no iser to enjoy it. But he's also eating it for higher reasons, and he's elevating whatever it is that he's eating.
No, it says later on that the Canaanite was then in the land.
Yeah.
I've never read anything about what does it exactly mean? The Canaanite was then in the land. That indicates that at some point he wasn't there and he arrived, and if he arrived, where did he arrive from?
I mean, if I'm not.
Because after that, it says about the Canaanite and the Perizzite or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's if I'm not mistaken, even Rashi speaks about it on the spot. Rashi says that the point of it was that because that was the bone of contention, that Avram hadn't yet taken possession of it, so Lot felt it belonged to him. That's the Rashi right there. Look at that Rashi. That's why the Chumash says it. Because the Lot says, this is your land. I see other people here. Other people are in your parking spot.
That was one of the things that was when he bought Mal Machpelah.
Yeah.
He said, when you buy it, he already knew it was his anyway. But he said, because he had money anyway, and even though he paid an exorbitant sum for the place, after that he had the bill of sale.
Yeah, the three places that three places that we wanted to show that nobody could argue that we own them, and all three places there's Shechem and Har Machpelah.
It was the love that you talk about between God and Abraham. I wish I could remember who I learned this from over 20 years ago. But there was a sociological test done on groups of married couples.
Yeah.
About why they were married. What was it that attracted them to their spouse?
Yeah.
And in the...
Your spouse or the marriage?
What?
The marriage generally?
What attracted them to their spouse. Right? What they loved. And in the first 2-3 years, both the husband and wives would have long lists. You know, attractive, kind, humorous, thoughtful, has a good singing voice, whatever. Right? By the time they got to couples that were married for 50 years and asked the same question, right? Couples like looked like it was
all
a
that stuff.
Question.
All that stuff went away.
You know, it's
it wasn't as funny as I thought it was.
Because
I found it funny.
No, it's because it's him. Because it's her. It was like that simple.
Yeah.
There was no specific thing for exactly the reason you describe, because if it's based on, you know, she has high cheekbones, or he has a great singing voice.
I'll tell you one of my favorite all-time of Orlowick quotes. He said, somebody who marries a woman for her beauty is like someone who invests in stocks that whose value they know is going to go down. It's only going to be beautiful for so long. It's not a good...
You realize it's still recording, right?
Yeah, sure. He means except for his wife.
One word, editing.
Right? No, that's the idea, right? If it's physical beauty, everybody, physical beauty doesn't last forever.
Objective physical beauty.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
That's subjective
beauty.
Yeah, kol avatui b'davar. So, the idea of love is that this idea that we're speaking about, that we see ourselves as the same. We're one thing. That's why it gets into all those very deep, hard to express ideas that kutshibricha deraisa v'yisrael chadhu, right? That's the idea. Hashem loves us because of that unity, that we see ourselves as an extension of Hashem. Hashem sees the Jewish people as an extension of Him.